The Lord's got something special just for you. I believe the Holy Spirit is so awesome that one guy can speak or one gal can speak and we all hear a message just for us. And there'll be 150 messages coming at you today. Pick yours. Amen? Grab it in your heart. God wants to speak to you. One of the things I realized, there was very seldom in the scripture that the Heavenly Father ever used the tactic that many of our fathers used. Is anybody familiar with the silent treatment? I'm glad you're laughing. One time my dad gave me the silent treatment, and then it ended with a lot of noise. It was the sound of me crying. But God doesn't normally default to the silent treatment. He always talks to us. He wants to speak to us. So if you'll open your heart and your mind today, God's going to speak to you. I want to thank you as a people of God. I know we didn't get your permission to do it, but thank you anyway for allowing me to take a sermon sabbatical. 15 years of speaking every week, and I wanted to stay fresh into my 15th year of ministry. And so we intentionally had Susie take over, and she is the best wife I have ever had. Didn't she do a great job? Yes. Amen. Thank you. She's actually my favorite preacher. And I was really ministered and fed. And then we had Jay Owen Ray Dean. And I'm going to preach next week. And then I'm going to take another 2 weeks off. So 2018 is when I will be gearing up for and really launching in January. We're going to have 21 days of prayer. And we're going to ask our prayer pastors, David and Michelle, to bring us a message on the last Sunday of this month. And we're going to launch something that you'll say yes and amen to. I really believe that. It's going to be awesome. So prepare your hearts to hear and see God in the days ahead. So I'm going to start today a two-part series. And we're going to begin out of the book of Luke, chapter 2. Beginning in verse 39. Even though I'm starting where it says 40, but I want to go back up. This is after Jesus was born. We sang about that today. And then his parents take him into the Father's house where he is dedicated to the Lord. And he does all the things that God had established in the Old Testament to do for your firstborn son. In Israel, your firstborn was dedicated to the Lord. If your donkey had a firstborn, you sacrificed the donkey or you paid a tribute to buy back that first donkey or the first ox. When it came to babies, of course, God was opposed to killing your baby. But the first one belonged to him and you would redeem him in the house of the Lord. And Mary, little did she know, she was literally going to give her firstborn to the world, wasn't she? So after the dedication, they returned home, and verse 39 says, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own town of Nazareth." Verse 40, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus," it says in the King James and the New King James, "lingered behind." I don't know if you've ever had a son that lingered. My father had one of those. "But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group that they traveled with, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days," wow. Parents, can you feel their pain? Wow. "In this big city, after 3 days, they found him in the temple in his father's house, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they did not understand this saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and increased in stature and in favor with God and man. Would you stand with me this morning? Are you ready? God's already been speaking this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this people and their hearts eager to hear of you. Father, we know we're not going to be disappointed this morning. We have heavenly hope and expectation, great expectations in this season for the Savior to be born to us in the world in a greater way in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Would you greet somebody in the name of the Lord? Let them know you're happy they're here. All right. That's enough love for one Sunday. Hey. We have changed our whole Christmas program practice just so Boise State can play with our support. Because we believe that God hears our cry. And we've set, is it Fresno that we're playing? No, we already played them and beat them. Oh, man, they're already history. Never mind. Oh, boy, poor Oregon. God help them not get hurt too bad, Father, in the loss. All right. We pray with great faith. Hey, to this day, I don't know about you. I'm guessing some of you are the same way. I struggle writing that. To this day, it kind of hurts my heart. It's just hard to do it. It's hard to put it in a slide even. But I got to share why that is with me. You see, when I was in second grade, I had this awesome teacher. And I'd tell you her name if I could remember her name. And I don't know where my pictures are from all those years. I was going to get them out and see. But we said the Lord's Prayer in that class either daily or weekly. This was, you know, a little over 50 years ago in Idaho at Eagle Elementary. The school's still there. Second grade, she taught us the Lord's Prayer. We said the Lord's Prayer. And one day I either wrote this or somebody did, and oh, she didn't have a fit and punish us, but it was so respectful to leave Christ out of Christmas. She put that in my little heart. To this day, I can't write that even in my own personal notes hardly. It's like if I'm in a hurry writing notes and don't forget Christmas presents or don't forget to take out the, whatever with Christmas, and I'm in a hurry and I want to write Xmas, I write it and I cross it out and I just finally write Christmas again. It just hurts my heart. Now, what I did is, for the first time in my life, Susie and I searched this week. Do you know this is neither a modern symbol for Christmas, nor is it a disrespectful one? This has been around as older than the Bibles you have in your hand. The X is a Greek abbreviation for Christ. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, I just think we ought to have an attitude, no matter what you write down, it's Jesus. You know, just don't let the world take him out. Even if they do, you say, oh, praise the Lord, that's the cross of Christ. That's what other thing I said. Maybe that stood for the cross of Christ. And it's actually one of the oldest symbols for Christ that we have. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So now, be at peace, there's no condemnation. Today's message is about the Christ in Christmas. As I was reading this portion of scriptures, verse 40 just jumped out at me. And as we read, do you understand that the book of Luke is about the only insight in the Bible to the childhood of Jesus? Isaiah refers in some prophecies. It's kind of vague. Luke is the only author that even mentions a 12-year-old Jesus. I mean, have you ever wondered what he did for the first 30 years? In fact, you know how we know he's 30 years old when he starts his ministry? Luke tells us. Luke is this doctor who's writing to the Greeks, I believe. And I love Luke. He's really detailed. He gives you that information. I mean, some of his chapters are the longest in the Bible, it seems like, because he's got to tell you why, what, wherefore. He's a surgeon. He's a physician. He wants to know how things work. And he's writing to his friend Theophilus, I believe, and he's telling him, I don't want you to get the wrong story about Jesus. Let me lay it out for you in detail. And he's the only one that goes back and gives us any insight into Jesus' childhood. It's pretty cool. Talks about the prophets and the prophetesses that meet Jesus as a baby at the temple. Simon and Anna. And then he goes on and says, from that day that they took him from the temple, took him to his home to be raised for the next 12 years, there's one verse that covers his whole 12 years of age. And then one incident when he's 12, when he's in the temple. There's only one verse that sums up the entire first 12 years of Jesus' life in the Bible. This is it. Verse 40. And then, from the time he's 12, Luke says he goes home and submits to his parents. And then there's one verse that covers from age 12 to 30. And it's verse 52. That's it. On the childhood of Jesus. Two verses and one story. And then Luke tells us at the age of 30, Jesus begins his ministry. I believe it's around the age of 30, Luke says. Huh. One scripture for 12 years of Jesus' life. This is it. And Jesus, it says, and him. And Jesus grew, first 12 years of his life. He grew, and they added another thing, became strong. A lot of times people put growth with strength, but it's separate. And Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. First 12 years of his life. This jumped out at me. If Jesus, for the first 12 years of his birthing as Jesus, grew, became strong, gained wisdom, and had the favor of God upon his life, what happens when you and I take Jesus into our life for the first 12 years we have him? Isn't that the Christ in Christmas? You know, a lot of us have an X in there. I don't know what Jesus did to me. He did this to you. So I was praying about it. I said, God, you know, I'm going to preach on we need to grow more, we need to get stronger, we need to get more wisdom, and we need to get favor. And I'm praying about it this week. And God says, Ralph, I've already done that in their life. Don't tell them to get it. They already got it. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, not just Savior, but you make him Lord, the Bible says you and I become, at that point, a new creation. Yeah. Old things begin to pass away. Now, not everything changes overnight, except many of you. Pam was talking this morning about her experience where she just told, where are you at, Pam? There, where she just radically got changed. And she went to Bible study smoking in one hand and a Bible in another and went to the Bible study that way. So even though she says everything changed, there were still some things that hung on. And what was beautiful is her Bible group didn't judge her, didn't say, you're not a Christian now. They let the Holy Spirit convict her. And now she just drinks. There's nothing else wrong with people. You're my friend. I knew I could tease you. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, the Bible says. So even though we first accept Jesus, we know we're just half-baked. We know we haven't fully arrived and attained to the full maturity of Christ. But there is something that begins the moment you make him Lord of your life. Amen. You become a new creation. Old things begin to pass away. Things just begin to fall off because now you have the strength that you never had before. You begin to grow in maturity and you begin to grow in strength. And all of a sudden your character gets stronger. Now, many of you, most of us, all of us, are like the little boy that goes to grandma's house every Christmas. They fly to Florida, they walk in, and grandma says first thing to the three boys that come through the door, "Oh, my boys, my, how you've..." And every kid that ever has a grandma say that goes, "Well, I didn't feel nothing." Anybody else have the same feeling I had? It's like, I didn't grow. I'd have known if I'd have grown. Did you grow? I mean, many parents and grandparents finally get tired of the kids arguing with them. Stand up against this door frame, right? And you mark it. You put their age next to it. Grandma, I don't know if we ever got to save that when they tore down the grandma's house, but all us boys and sisters were there on that post. Our names and our date and where we grew and how much we grew. Grandma was just like the rings of the tree for us. Every growing period, we had a little mark on the wall. Because that proved we'd grown. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. Jesus looks at us every year and goes, "Oh, it's Christmas time. Let's celebrate. Oh, my goodness. By the way, have I told you, my, how you've grown? How much stronger you are in character this year? I mean, you've been with me 12 years. Who's been with Jesus longer than 12 years? Okay, who's still 1 to 12? You're still growing, becoming strong. Next week, we're going to talk about the wisdom and favor. I can't wait for that one. Today, we're going to talk about growth and strength. Is Christ in your heart, or do you just have an unknown X there? Do you know who's in there? Every 12 years, the Bible says he grew, became strong, gained wisdom and favor. Do you think a different Jesus landed in your heart than the one that walked the earth 2,000 years ago? Same Christ. Jesus Christ, the same then, the same now, the same forever. Forever, you and I have the growing Christ in us. You say, yeah, but he was perfect. By the time he was 12, look at him. I thought the same thing. And then verse 50 hit me, or 52. And it says, and after Jesus went back to Galilee and began to submit to his parents, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That was age 12 to 30. Jesus wasn't done at 12. He hadn't arrived at 12. Oh, but he astounded people. He astonished people. He was phenomenal. Yeah, and God wasn't done with him yet. He even got better. That's what's in you and I. That same Christ lives in us. That's not my idea, it's the Bible. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, Romans says. 2 Corinthians, I quoted, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Your strength increases, your growth increases. Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. When you are baptized into the name of Jesus, you are crucified with Christ. And Paul says, but nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that's raised out of that water or out of that commitment to serve Jesus, out of making him Lord of my life. After marrying Jesus, I am crucified with him. My flesh dies. If any man wishes to follow Christ, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus daily. Luke says. And when you do that, you become crucified in flesh in Christ, and your flesh dies a death. Sometimes a very painful death, and sometimes it takes your whole life to die. But you begin from that moment on to gain strength over sin. Sin loses its stronghold over you, and no longer is it an arm wrestling match where he's winning and you, it's all of a sudden, boom. You're no longer slave to sin. You have strength you never had before. You can stop things you shouldn't be doing. You can start things you should be doing. Why? Because it's no longer I who lives within me, but Christ lives in me. And my flesh is crucified. It's dead. Kick it. Do whatever you want. You can't offend it. It's dead. But nevertheless, I live, and Christ is living where? In me. Here's the hooker to the hooker. That's okay. Sorry. Here's the hook. Christ lives in me. He comes over my flesh. Can you hear the Spirit through my fleshly lips this morning? There's a scripture in Romans 8:11. It says, and let me finish reading it. And better yet, let me use the scripture I want to use. I have been crucified, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How did you receive Christ? I mean, how many had a, this would be awesome if you did. How many of you saw a physical Jesus the day you came to him? That you served him and sought him? Justin, I've heard this story. It's phenomenal. How about the rest of you? Thomas touched Jesus' hands and then he believed in Jesus. Let me see the nail-scarred hands. And Jesus said, there, Thomas. Now, you believe because you saw. Blessed are those who believe in me and don't see those hands. Yeah. Outside of Justin, the rest of us. How many believed in Jesus even though you didn't have a physical manifestation? There was something real going on, but how many of you believed in Jesus anyway? What did that take? If you can't see it with your eye or hear it with your ear, what is, of course, faith comes by hearing. But if you don't see it with your eye, what does it take to accept Jesus into your heart? It's by faith, not by our works, by which we are saved. It's faith. It's not living right, living good, living better than everybody else, so you deserve to go to heaven, you deserve to be a son. No. Oh, what great love the Father's bestowed upon us that he would call me, of all people, the Son of God. It is by faith we receive him, not by our works, lest we would boast how wonderful we are. It's little Jack Horner sitting in the corner, putting in his thumb, what a good boy am I. God doesn't want you to come to heaven with your little thumb and your little plum. We come to him undeserving, unmerited favor upon my life. I still can't preach perfect, and I've done it for so long. Thank God that's not the qualification to be a son of God. It's his great love. You have not chosen Jesus. He first chose you. You did not first love him. He first loved you. Regardless of where you were at, what you were doing, though you were an enemy of Christ, he still chose you. So, dear Christians, let's ask the rest of the world to come in. Though they be sinners, though they be enemies of Christ, oh, were we not all? And it's his great love, unmerited favor that brings me to him. It's that faith in that love that sustains me. Except we have faith, we cannot please God. He wants us to know what floats our boat. And it's not us, it's him. He's floating our boat. Even though I can't see it, I trust him. Even though I go out into the world, nobody on the news puts Jesus' picture on the news, I believe in Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand by faith. All other ground I've learned is sinking sand. On Christ, I will stand. But it's by faith. Every one of you has received him by faith. And Justin still has to serve him by faith because he doesn't show up every day again, does he, Justin, necessarily? Now, if you're, holy cow, if he sees him every day, you guys need to hang out with Justin. I believe he's, if you knew his testimony, you knew why Jesus had to fight through to that little boy that needed Jesus in a big way, and the world was keeping Jesus from him in a brutal way. Jesus fought through for a little boy. Jesus does whatever he needs to do, for Jesus comes to seek and to save that which is lost. So it says here in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ by faith lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Now, why am I saying this, Christ in us by faith? You know this. But everything that comes with Jesus is in you too. I know he loves me and I'll go to heaven. But do you know what he did to your life the minute he took residence within you? You began to change. Susie preached a really weird scripture while she preached. Kind of weirded me out at first. She talked about God loving all us people and wanting us to rest, and then in Israel, this one guy out of a million goes to pick up sticks and God wipes him out. I don't know if you were with me in that. I'm going, Susie, where are you going with this? How do you justify that? I mean, how can a loving God kill a guy for just picking up sticks on Sunday? He was industrious, for goodness sakes. He wasn't lazy. Bless him for that. No, no. The scholars say he lived as if God didn't matter or make a difference. God, you can say what you want. I'm not going to do it because you are irrelevant to my life. You don't change my life. I still got to go out and get sticks. I can't trust you because I don't even believe you make a difference or that you even matter. That's a whole other story, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I'd never do that. Well, you have Jesus in your life. How many of you don't think you're growing and you're not strong and you're not getting wisdom and you don't have favor of God? If you think that, shame on our little immature minds. We don't have faith. See, coming to Christ takes faith, but walking out your journey with God, it's called walking by faith. And here's the hardest part for me to do, to believe God's making me better, even against my own mistakes, failures. To have faith that the same Jesus is in me, no matter how dirty the temple is that day. And that I've served him 12 years and I've somehow plateaued. Oh, but you got 12 to 30 to go, where you're going to increase in more wisdom and you're going to increase in more stature and you're going to get more favor with God and man. You wait till you're 30. Woo! And Jesus hit 30 and then it really began to get fun. And then Jesus said, these things you see me doing greater because I have grown to the maturity. I'm going to touch your life and you're going to blossom and do greater things than me. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God to me. And of the increase of his government in my life, of the increase of Jesus in your life by faith. Understand, have faith that the increase of God's governing in your life will never not increase in your life. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's ever increasing. Everything in God that's healthy grows. You're still growing. Your spiritual grandmother angel still putting you up against the doorpost and go, wow, look at from last year, and you don't see it because it takes faith. We don't have faith by our sight or but what. We have faith, and we see and hear by faith. I want this morning to solidify in your heart that you need to have faith. And if you have faith that Jesus really came into your life, if you have never asked Jesus into your life, oh my goodness. Is there anybody in here that's received Christ that we should warn people to be disappointed because the hype doesn't match what he really does in your life? You can't outbrag Jesus. You can't tell all the wonderful things he's done and oversell him. Quit worrying about being an overseller of Jesus. You can't oversell him. What can you tell somebody about Jesus that's too good, that's too wonderful, that's too amazing? That same Christ is resident still in you. He's still astonishing. He's still amazing. He is still the one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords over your and my life. And if we will have faith to believe, oh, your mind has not conceived, nor has your ear heard the things that Jesus wants to do in your and my life and in the life of this church that has not plateaued, but the Jesus that I know lives in this church, he's the head of this place, and we as a church are going to grow. We're going to get stronger, we're going to get wiser, and we're going to have more favor in the days ahead. Because that Jesus is married to this place. And he's our King and Lord, and he's our Savior, and he's our husband. He's everything to us, and he will lead us from glory to glory to glory. So get ready. If Jesus is alive and we have faith in this house is going to grow and it's going to get stronger, not weaker. It's not going to get diluted, because when you put too much water in a substance, it just dilutes out the life of the salt. And we don't want our little thing we have that's so concentrated to get diluted by more people. That is an enemy. That's not Jesus. Whatever Jesus touches grows and gets stronger. Unless it's an enemy. So you as an individual have just begun to grow. You've just begun to fight. Your character is going to get stronger against sin. Your spirit is going to get stronger and give you more faith. And that's what, as we go into this season of prayer, I wanted to preempt you with some prayer thoughts. In this coming year, as we begin to launch our 21 days of prayer, will you add to your prayers, God, help me grow stronger in my faith? I have faith that you're going to keep me growing, God. I have faith that I'm going to even get stronger in my spirit and in character. It says of John the Baptist in Luke that he also grew and became strong in spirit. So when the Bible says grow is one thing, strong is another. Strong in spirit, strong in character, strong in maturity. Do you have faith for that? If you don't, I want you to make it a matter of prayer. You have not because you've asked not. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you'll knock, he will open the door of faith into your life. And I want you to begin. I want us to begin. I want this church to begin to have greater and greater faith, because I want to tickle Jesus's heart. And it says we can't please him unless we have faith. And it tickles daddy's heart when a son looks at dad and say, I'm your kid, dad. I can do anything you can do. You put this into me. I don't have to be afraid of my English teacher and my English class and my math course, God, because you're my daddy and you're really smart and I've got your DNA, right? Every dad loves to hear that. And the girls love me, daddy, because I look like you. Oh, dad just goes, oh, sweetheart, let me talk to you about dating. But it blesses a dad's heart for you to have faith in your big daddy and that his DNA is in you. And you and I need faith to believe that. Don't go by your eyesight. Don't go by what you see in your life, what you feel in your life. Just believe grandma when she says you're growing. Because she is. You've got Jesus in your life. So great scripture. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of his might. Have you ever heard this saying, he is mighty to save? That doesn't stop when you get saved. Salvation means, the word saved in Greek means to be made whole. And when you and I first came to Jesus, we had a lot of holes in our wholeness. Everything changed, but then we had to walk by faith. And you're still walking by faith, aren't you? Because some of you have lost your faith that God's still growing in your life. You've lost your faith. You're not strong in character. You can chronicle all the ways you failed God. You can chronicle all the ways you've been weak in your flesh and you ate too many cupcakes last night. But I'm here to tell you, he is increasing strength in you over sin, over temptation, over the things that are hurting your life, the things you don't like, the things in your spirit you know are wrong. You don't have the strength to fight sin. That's why Jesus had to be born. You just need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Yeah, if you don't have Jesus, you it. But I'm going to have Jesus fight where I can't fight. So as you come into your New Year's resolution, say, Jesus, my man, I want this, you want this, and if we can agree together touching anything on heaven, I need to eat less, God. Help me. Give me strength of character. God, I need more faith. Give me strength in faith. I need more hope and expectation you're going to do wonderful things. Give me more, God. Let me be strong in hope, strong in faith. And we've been singing it lately, and we got a prophetic word last week. We need to be strong with joy. That world out there needs to see somebody smiling with a sincere smile, not a political smile. A strong smile. It's going to be okay. Come to Christ. He's the solid rock. Build your house on him, and no matter what storm hits this world, this planet, this country, we will stand. I'm not that strong. Me neither. I just built on him. He's my strength. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my hope. He's my everything. Oh, can you stand with me this morning? Finally, sons and women of God, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Oh, let's put the Christ back in your Christmas. Let's put the Christ back into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit, into your soul. Hear what the Spirit is saying to his beloved. You're the best he's got. You're it for Jesus. There ain't nobody better that he's looking for. That he'll hang with you till he finds a better Christian to love on. No, no. You are the apple of his eye. You are the epitome of the ones he's chose to love. You are it. You are the chosen. You are a holy people. You're a royal priesthood, separated and called out to your Savior. You're the best he's got, and you're who he chose to make the best. Let your faith arise in the love of your heavenly Savior. Make him Lord again of your life and your emotions and your thoughts. Let your mind be taken captive. If it's scared, if it's worried, if it's lack of, let it be captured by Jesus. And put your thoughts on him this week, on the greatness of God and how he's going to grow you this year. I can't wait to see the present under my Christmas tree for next year from Jesus. And you open it up and it says strength, growth, wisdom, favor. I'll take that gift, hey, Jesus. Expect that present this year. Jump up with your kids at 5:30 in the morning. Go look for that strength and that peace and that joy and that love and that growing that's going to happen to you and I in Jesus' name. He's a good, good father, amen? Oh, let's sing it this morning. Let your faith arise. Let your hope arise in Jesus.
Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so
Jesus is known as the master physician. So whether you have the pediatrician that you go to early in life, who then measures, checks things, and when did any of us from ages 1 to 12 look at the doctor and go, yeah, I can tell. But the physician had the record. When you were born, you weighed this much. At age 1, you weighed this much. And you were this tall. The physician had the record. When did I ever look at the physician and say, I think you got it wrong? Now, for some of us, we've reached the age where instead of the pediatrician, we have our wellness check. I'm still not arguing with the physician because they're the one with the official record. I couldn't tell you what my blood pressure was the last time I went in for a wellness check, but the doctor has it written down. Well, how about the master physician? What is the master physician saying about your growth and your strength with the Holy Spirit in your life? Don't argue with the master physician. He's got the record, and he knows who you are. And his opinion of who you are and the strength and the growth that you are walking in is the measure that counts. That's the one that counts. What does our Heavenly Father God say about you today? Let's trust his word. He is a good, good, good Father. And he sees the strength and the growth in you. Let's sing it one more time.
You're a good, good Father.
Always, the altar is open if you need prayer this morning. We invite you to come. And as we close, Father, we thank you again for your great love, for your faithfulness, for your vision of who we are. Encourage each one in this house this day, Lord God, to take a glimpse of the record that you have of who we are. To take a look at the record of our growth as you see it, God, that we would see the physician's record and not base it on our emotions and our feelings, but that we would ask you, God, what do you say about me and how do you see me growing? How do you see me getting stronger? Let me see as you see. In this Christmas season, that I would see the growth of Christ in me. Bless this house. Bless each one, Lord. We thank you. Amen.